Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 2, we'll read verses 1 through 20. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1460. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for Mary to be delivered. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And the shepherds came with haste and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe was lying in a manger. Now when they had seen the babe, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. No one writes a story like God. A decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. A census took place, so all went to his own city. This past week, a clergy colleague sent a Christmas poem by Daniel T. Niles. It was titled, "On a Day When Men Were Counted." On a day when men were counted, God became the Son of Man. That his name in every census would be entered was his plan. God, the Lord of all creation, humble takes a creature's place. He whose form no man has witnessed has today a human face. Men wanting to count other men, a Caesar, a king, a ruler, wanting to know how many are in my kingdom. Was the desire to know for pride's sake, or was it for battle's necessity? Was it for the lineage of families? We don't know. Whatever the reason, God decided that this was a good time to place his son among the other sons of men. God, whose face had never been seen by a human, decided to allow humans and all of creation to see God with a human face. God, the Lord of all creation, would take his place in an humble way. He would be counted among humans. Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary, who was expecting the baby Jesus, was of the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because Joseph was of the house and the lineage of David. David was that shepherd boy of Israel who cared for his father's sheep, who wrote psalms which were after God's own heart. He played his soothing harp, and he slayed the giant Goliath. David was the shepherd boy who became king of Israel. Despite David's despicable sins, and he had them, like all of humanity, God had promised David that from his house would come a kingdom without end. God was about to make good on that promise. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for Mary to be delivered. And Mary brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. No room for them in the inn. That phrase causes the hearts of humans to cringe, so much so that lest we be guilty of not making room in our hearts and our homes, we follow that human fallacy of laying blame on others. How could the innkeeper keep them out? When his eyes saw the weary travelers and expectant mother, how could his mouth utter, "No room in the inn for you"? Did he not have a heart? Perhaps he did. He perhaps offered what he had, a place with the animals. Sometimes we visualize this place with the animals as a wood stable, sometimes as a cave. In the 4th century, Emperor Constantine consecrated a cave as Jesus' birthplace. There's also the suggestion that it was common in that time for the animals to live in a structure below the living quarters for humans. So while we don't know for sure, we can say with assurance that the birthplace was poor, it was humble, it was crude. It was simple accommodations for the Son of God. Now, those of us who like to find God's good, even in the difficult, like to think, well, there was the shelter from the night elements, and there was warmth from the animals, and there was the comfort of a hay bed. Mostly, there was the strength of Mary to give birth and her tenderness in wrapping the baby. There's the protection of Joseph, who would have preferred a grander birth room. Mary and Joseph would not have been different from any loving parents who want the best for their child. Sometimes, however, our understanding of the best way to show love is not God's way to show love. Last Sunday evening, I went to Eden Westside Baptist Church to watch two of Johnny and Gwen's grandchildren in a Christmas program. And it was excellent, with the children singing and a reenactment of the nativity by the children. Well, months ago, the youth minister, Brother Caleb, asked the youth to consider the birth of Jesus from the perspective of the shepherds. Scripture was quoted, and there were thoughts and meditations that were read. There was dancing with gestures, and there was a portrayal of the life of a shepherd as an outcast of society. While being a shepherd had always been undesirable in many cultures, at one time shepherds were the mainstay of life, and they held an illustrious position in the lineage of the Jewish people. Abraham, Moses, and King David were shepherds. God was even portrayed and prophesied as being a shepherd of God's people. Yet the standing of shepherds was low in the social hierarchy in Jesus' day. Some reasons cited are that they had an inability to keep themselves as clean according to all the guidelines of the religious leaders. They lived among the sheep and smelly sheep, and they often slept in the fields at night. They were sometimes accused of encroaching on the property of others as they sought to feed their animals. And shepherds watching other people's sheep didn't always guard them with care. Interestingly, the shepherds outside of Bethlehem were probably watching sheep which would have been used in temple sacrifice. So you would think, because sheep were necessary for the spiritual forgiveness and gratitude of the people at that time, that shepherds would be regarded as a benefit. How could it be that those who provided essential elements for worship were excluded from joining in worship? Yet how often do we think less of others who might do honest and beneficial work for our society, but we deem their job as less than desirable? And so if we're not careful, we attach the thought that we do not want to do that job to that person. God chooses that which we might not. God worships with a shepherd. God sends an angel to bring a salvation message, and a host of angels to light the night sky and praise God. Now, there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And then suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I pay attention when God brings something to my awareness from a couple of different sources. Sunday night, the young people of Eden Westside emphasized that peace was not a peace from lack of war or even disasters, but peace that comes from our reconciliation with God. I noticed it and sat up a little straighter when it was said, and I thought, I need to make that point clear at ACMAR. Well, that thought was confirmed Monday morning with a reading from the devotional magazine Mornings with Jesus. Jeanette Lavelle and her husband write Christmas poems on Christmas stationery for family and friends. Well, feeling uninspired, she told her husband to recycle one of her former poems. He was horrified. He said, that's like cheating. But she had nothing. Finally, her husband agreed. And maybe it was the spirit of Christmas, but 2 days later, she had an idea for a new poem. So she wrote, as we read from the angel's announcement at his birth, Jesus brought peace from God to the earth. Peace, more than the absence of war, peace, more than silence, stillness, or tranquility. The peace that Jesus gave was a restoration of our relationship with God. The peace that we lost when we listened to the serpent and ate the forbidden fruit and became enemies of God, banished from our garden of fellowship. Because of Jesus, we are once again friends with God. Jesus bought our place in God's throne room, in God's heart. He made peace between God and us. Our peace comes because of the gift of Jesus. When we believe in Jesus and we receive him as our Savior, we have peace. When we open our hearts and our homes for Jesus, we have peace. We have peace because of the love of God. Love abounds from the gift of God's Son, Jesus, who is the Savior of the world. Love abounds as Joseph lovingly stayed with Mary as she gave birth to God's Son. Love abounds as Mary lovingly wrapped her son in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger. Shepherds left their sheep and lovingly sought their Savior. So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has been made known to us. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen Jesus, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. When you have a marvelous message to share and a marvelous message to hear, a person's dress code or their occupation or perhaps dirty hands, they have little bearing on the importance of what is being said. God chose shepherds. How can we not listen? Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Is there a more poignant statement? Mary pondering all these things in her heart. Mary, did you know? A song was written by Mark Lowry in 1984 and it was published in 1991. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm a storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your little baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know the blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again, the lame will leap, the dumb will speak? The praises of the Lamb. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is all of creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect Lamb? This sleeping child that you're holding is the great I Am. Oh, Mary, did you know? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the loving gift of Jesus. Let love abound in our hearts that we might love others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.